Tonight's shiur, Parshas Valoscha. Rav Galinsky said that he once came into Rav Shach Zatzal, and Rav Shach said to him, Rav Yaakov Zukepis, tell me a word. So Rav Galinsky told him the following. Mor says in Brachas, Daf Hamud Beis, the Rabbi Lezer, when he was sick, Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him. And Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Elazar was living in a very, very dark house. So he wanted to shed some light. So the Gemara says he lifted up his sleeve, and his flesh shone, and it lit up the room. That's the Gemara. So he asks, Galinsky asks, I don't understand. What about Rabbi Yochanan's face? There's flesh on his face also. L'chura, when he walked in, his face should have lit up the room. So why did he have to lift up his sleeve? So, good question. So the answer is, he says, from here we see that which is hidden is that which shines. In other words, learn from here that things which are done quietly, those are the chashuva things. As we learn from this Gemara, that the face is open, whatever, no, that doesn't shed light. Things which are hidden, this arm which is under the sleeve, that's what brings light into the world. Brings it to the Sedra. The Rashi says, "Laminiska parshas menorah lakravas nesim." What's the connection between the end of last week's Sedra with the korbanos and nesim, and this week's Sedra with the lighting of the menorah? Nefishara kishara Aaron chanukas nesim chal shadaito. When Aaron saw the chanukas nesim, he was upset, and he said, "Amalo kadosh baruch hu chayecha. Don't worry, shalcha gadol mishalahem." Because Aaron didn't have a chalik there, so Hashem says, don't worry, your chalik is bigger than theirs. Shatam adlik umetiv etanerot, because you're going to light the menorah. So, question is asked, why is that a greater chalik? In what way is that greater chalik than a chanukas asim? So, according to what we're saying, this is very nice, because the karbanas are done with pirsum, they're done publicly. Things done publicly are not so great, but the menorah is done inside. It's quiet, nobody knows about it, Kohen goes in, lights, things done quietly are a much greater chashivas to him. Therefore, shalcha gedola mishalachem. So Rav Shach says, okay, let me tell you a Gemara, also on the same idea. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yechei Sanches Amadal, Tan Rabbanan, when Rav Yossi ben Kisma was sick, so Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan came to visit him. So Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he says, Chanina bin Achi, he says, I don't understand you. He says, don't you know that there's this wicked nation that are persecuting us? And I've heard that you're sinning in your Osik B'Torah, with which they were gozer against. We're not allowed to learn Torah. And you're sitting there, not only you're learning Torah, you're makil kilos barabim in a Sefer Torah, munach lecha b'chikecha. You're giving a kashir publicly and with a Sefer Torah in your lap, and despite the gezeras, what are you doing? So he answered, B'chinina answered, he says, Mina Shemaim Yirachamu, Hashem Yazor. So he said to him, I'm telling you something very logical over here, and you're telling me, oh, Mina Shemaim Yirachamu, what's going on? So he says, I'll be very surprised if you're not going to end up being burnt in fire along with the Sefer Torah. Then Rabbi Chanina, he asked Rabbi Yossi, he says, Rabbi, ma ni l'chai olam haba? I have a question. Change the topic a little bit. Will I have a good place in olam haba? So Rabbi Yossi said, well, klu ma'ase ba'aliyacha. Tell me, did you do anything that you think you might deserve getting olam haba for? So he said, yeah, once I had my money for, I put aside for Sudas Purim, and I got mixed up with my tzedakah money. And I didn't know which money was for my Purim Suda, which money for my tzedakah money, so I gave it all to tzedakah. So we said, whoa, if that's the case, says, Im kein, mechalkecha yehi chalki, megoralcha yehi gorali, halavai, I should have your chalik and olam haba. Fine, so that's the Gemara. So he says, Rav Shach, I don't understand. Here's Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. We just saw he was Makil Kilos Barabi, Moser Nefesh, unbelievable for the Torah, and risking his life, teaching Torah Barabi, whatever. And he says, he asks if he has a Chalik on Olam Ba, and then when he's asked, well, did you do anything? He could have said, what do you mean today? Of course, I told you, I'm Makil Kilos Barabi. No, what did he say? Oh, my money, I got mixed up with my money and stuck on mine, I gave it. And that, he says, my chelik should be like your chelik and all of Hamas. I mean, what about for all the mysterious nefesh he's doing? So he says, we see here, the same Yesod, right? Being Makil Kilos Barabim, that's public. Things done in public. No, right? Not so great, right? Because you get covered for it, etc. Whereas something done in your own home, nobody knows. Your money got mixed up. That's something you're doing without nobody knowing about it. That's even a greater schus. And therefore, that was the schus that he said, I should be levi. I should be have your chela. Similarly, Rav Shach, when he was old, he was being taken care of from Rav Chananya Cholak. And one day he heard Rav Shach groaning and saying, "Oh, what am I going to come to Olam Emes with? You know, what am I? You know, I'm an old man now. I'm a sick old man, and what am I going to? What do I have to take with me to Olam Emes?" So Rav Chalak was a little bit shocked to hear that, and he said, "Maybe the 70 years of chinuch and thousands of talmidim that you have." So Rav Shach said, "Eh." So he says, "Well, what about the whole yeshiva world is and the spreading of Torah in this generation is all because of you?" He said, "Eh." He says, "Well, what about all the volumes of Avi Ezri, the work that you put into and it's learned by in all yeshivas, whatever? What about that?" So he says, "Eh." So he says, "Rebbe, I don't understand. What do you mean? I mean, is there anybody that's going to Olam Emes with something more than you? I mean, what do you mean, eh?" So Rav Shach said, "Listen, you have to understand something." He says, "All those things that you mentioned, I got covered for." And he says, "When you come covered," he says, "you know, it's like you're getting paid in this world. And therefore," he says, "what is it, Doma too?" It's like, he says, coming onto a bus with a kartisiya, with a ticket that's already been punched. You know, it's all punched already. You're coming into the bus. Like, come to the next world with things you did for kavod, so you, that's it, you're coming with, it's all, you got your reward already, and you're coming with nothing. So Rav Shach said, everything you mentioned, I got covered for. That's what I'm worried. What am I going to come go into the next world with? He brings a nice taich in the pasuk. Says in Tehillim, Memtes, says, "Al tira ki yashir ish ki yirbe kavod beso ki lo b'moso yikach hakol lo yered acharav kvodo." So the pasuk says, "Ki lo b'moto yikach hakol." When a person dies, he's not going to take everything with him. You can't take everything with you when you die. Ki lo yered acharav kvodo. He's not going to, his kavod is not going to descend with him. So he says, what is that supposed to mean? That you're not, everything's going to go with you. Does anything go with you? Right? It says that the shrouds, the tachrichim, don't have pockets. You know, to show you, person, that you don't take any, can't take anything with you. So what's shot in the pasuk that said you can't take everything with you? Mashma, something you could. So he says, perhaps, that Derek Drush, that we're not talking about physical things. Of course you can't take anything physical with you to the next world. We're talking about your ruchnius things, the Torah and the mitzvahs. Says the pasuk that you can't take everything with you, meaning you're not going to take all the schar of your mitzvahs with you. Why? Because like we said before, things that you got covered for, you're not going to take that with you. So therefore, lo b'maso yikach hakol, you can't take everything with you when you die. Only those things that you didn't get covered for. And that's the end of the pasuk. Lo yered acharav kvodo, because your kavod is not going to go with you. Things you got covered for, those things you can't take with you. So the Chafetz Chaim used to say that and with all the hanas, of course, the Mishnah Saint Pirkei Avos, all the hanas in this world, right, can't pay for the schar of one mitzvah in the next world, right? He says that why? Because schar in the next world is spiritual, and everything here in this world is physical. No, you can't, you know, take physical things and no matter how much you have, and pay for something spiritual. So Chafetz Chaim used to say there's one exception to that. What's that? Kavod. Because kavod, a person gets kavod, kavod isn't physical, it's spiritual. So when a person gets kavod, he feels good, he's got kavod, so he's getting a spiritual reward. Something not tangible, spiritual. Memela, that is a payment for your mitzvahs, which are also spiritual. So therefore, the worst thing for a person is to get kavod, because that's mamish, eating up his olama. All physical things, he can't really eat up his olama, because no matter what you give him, you can't eat up the scar of the next world. But something spiritual, like kavod, a person can eat up his olama with that. Yes, there was a maisa once, the Chafetz Chaim came to Moscow and for his yeshiva, whatever, and he asked that it should be kept quiet, you know, nobody knows about him, and that he should know that he's coming. He would just want to go to the inn where he's staying, everything. So one of his relatives were upset, and they said, you know, why are you holding back from everybody, you know, being able to give kavod to the Torah? So he answered, he says, does your wife ever make a kugel for Shabbos? So he says, yeah. He says, yeah, you never walk into the house, you know, a few minutes before Shabbos, you take a whiff, the whole house smells of this yummy kugel, whatever. He says, what? And then you want to take a piece, and your wife says, no, the kugel's for Shabbos. Kugel's for Shabbos. Misha tarach be'erev Shabbos, yochel be'Shabbos. Right? So he says the same thing. Says just like you can't eat the kugel, if you eat the kugel on Shabbos, you're not going to have it for Shabbos. So too, if I'm going to get covered in this world, so then what am I going to take with me in the next world? Okay. Moving right along. Okay. Now, how many books are there in the Torah? So of course, Chamisha Chumash Torah, 5. However, that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But Rebbe holds that there are 7 books. What are the 7 books? It starts with Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. But Bamidbar up until the Pasuk of Vayibin So Aaron. Then we have the Psukim of 2 Psukim there of Vayibin So Aaron. And that's, which is 85 letters. That's a book in itself. And then the rest of Bamidbar. And then Dvarim, that's 7 books altogether. That's a Shita of Rebbe. However, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, why is Vihiben Soa separated in the Torah with 2 upside down nuns? According to Rebbe, it's because it's a book on its own. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who we hold like, there's 5 books. So why are those psukim, even Soaron, put in, set out with, in 2 upside down nun, separated? So Chazal tell us to separate the from one Purianus to the next. Because it said Vayisu Mihar Hashem, that they went away from Hashem, and then right after that, that's another Purianus, Vayi Haham Kemiso Ninim. So to separate from one, there shouldn't be 2 in a row. We have the Psukim Vayi Mitzar. Now he says there was a Avreich that they came to him, to Galinsky, and he was he was upset. He says, you know, we not so long ago, a couple of months ago, we celebrated Chag HaPesach, and you know, we had the Aliyah Ruchanit, you know, the whole Chag and the Shvi Shel Pesach, and then came Sfiras HaOmer, and we went through all the Sfira, and now finally come to the pinnacle. We came to the, you know, the Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, and then Shavuos, and that's over with, and he said, I feel like nothing. Like, oh, what did I gain? What am I left with? Nothing, and I feel dejected. So he wanted some chizuk, and he said, not only that, he said, Avreich said, it reminds me of a maisa they saw in some sefer, that that a person saw that it brought down that somebody who fasts for 40 days will be zocher to see Eliyahu HaNavi. So this guy said, hey, it's okay, 40 days fasting, it's a lot, but it's worth it, you know, see Eliyahu HaNavi. So he did, he fasted 40 days, and nothing, didn't see Eliyahu HaNavi. So the guy thought to himself, well, I fasted like I was supposed to, and I'm sure the source was brought down, wasn't lying, so what happened? Maybe I saw him, but I didn't recognize him? Or maybe, I don't know, I had kapeda against me, and because of that I wasn't able to see him. I don't know. So he was very upset, and he went to the Rav Yisrael Mirajin, that's all, to ask him, because he knows, I'm sure the Rebbe sees Eliyahu on a regular basis. So he asked him, what's going on? So he heard what the man had to say, and so Rav Yisrael told him the following story. He says, every Motzei Shabbos, the Baal Shem Tov had a minag that he used to go on his special buggy, his horses, and he would travel to fly through the air to all types of places in the world with his wagon driver Alexei, and every Motzei Shabbos another place, take care of business, what he had to do, and fly back to Medjugorje, where he was living. So eventually his horses got a little bit old and he needed to switch to new horses. So he got new horses, and these new horses were all excited to become the horses of a tzaddik, you know, Baal Shem Tov. And first Motzei Shabbos came around, and they hooked up the horses and ready to go on their journey. So the horses started flying through the air, and they usually, they stop every few kilometers for a break, to drink, whatever. And they were just flying by, and they're just skipping, the normal stops where the horses would normally stop. So these horses felt, you see that? We became the horses of this tzaddik, and we're not horses anymore. We're like human beings. Okay? We graduated. We don't need to stop every time for these breaks. So they're flying through the air, and then they didn't even stop places where the people would normally stop. And they went all the way to where they had to go. The Baal Shem Tov took care of his business, and then they flew all the way back, and no stopping whatsoever. So on the way back, the horses are thinking to themselves, wow, and we're past that stage of being humans. We're malachim. We're malachim already. And they came, they landed back to the Medjugorje, and what happened? The horse, they untied the horses, and they put them back into the barn, and as soon as they got into the barn, they just went straight to the straw and started eating like crazy. Anyway, so they saw in the end that they're not malachim, they're not human beings, they're just regular old horses. So the tzaddik told this man, he says, it says you saw that if you fast 40 days, you see Eliyahu Navi. He says, what do you think? Eliyahu Navi wants to harm us, wants to cause us tsar and suffering by fasting? So no, the idea of the fasting is not just to fast. It's to elevate the person, to control one's taivas or whatever, raise them up or whatever, so he shouldn't be tied down to the eating trough. You know, he should be a heiliger person, a holy person. He says, but you, what happened? Yeah, you fasted 40 days. He says, okay, 40 days are up, and you go pig out on what you're eating. He says, that's not the idea. What, you want to be Zoycha de Cecil Yao Navi? So anyways, so Kitzur, this of Reichland, says Rabbi Galinsky, so I'm depressed, everything we went through, it's Chagim and everything, and I'm nothing, I don't feel I'm anything. So what chizik do you have to offer? So I told him, let me tell you two things. The first thing, I'll tell you something that I heard from my mechutin, or my father-in-law, rather. He said the following in mashal. He said that there was once a tzaddik, and he was sitting and thinking. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a human being like me. And yet, he was became so holy, like an angel. He went up to the Shemayim, and he was close to the Shekhinah, and he went up to the Shemayim, went down. So he said, if Moshe Rabbeinu can do it, I can do it too. Why not? He's a human, I'm a human, I could do it. So, what do you do? He started thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam and that. Sure enough, he felt himself going up. Felt himself going up into Shemayim, and he goes, wow, this is amazing, this Dveikus in Hashem. He felt himself leaving the world. And he's looking down, and he sees the Kadur Aretz, he sees the world beneath him. And he's going higher and higher, and he's passing by the moon and the stars or whatever. And he says, wow, this is unbelievable. Until he realized that, he says, wait a minute, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't eat and drink for 40 days. He says, am I going to be able to handle this? Not to eat and drink for 40 days. And also, he didn't sleep the whole time. How am I going to not sleep for all this time? And since he got all nervous, that broke his dveikus in his dveikus to Hashem. So what happened? All of a sudden, he started feeling himself falling. And he goes, uh-oh. Now he got really nervous. He says, I'm falling. I might miss the world. I might end up being like a falling star or something. And he said, Ribbono Shalom, please, let me land on the Kadur Arts. So, sure enough, Hashem listened to him, and he was landing bullseye, you know, onto the world. So he goes, oh no, but the world is made out of two-thirds of water. I might fall right into the sea, the ocean, and goodbye, and that's the end of me. He says, oh no, help me, Ribbono Shalom. So then he saw that he wasn't going to land in the water. He goes, oh no, I might land in the desert, and then what's going to be... Anyways, Bekitzer, he says, please, Hashem, let me land, you know, in my home. So what happened? Sure enough, Hashem listened to him, and he fell down, came down, right where he had left, but almost where he left, a couple of feet away, but basically where he left. So he says, of course, it's only a mashal. But what I want to tell you, he says, fine, you know, we go to, we get these lofty levels during the Chagim, Pesach, Shavuos, whatever, and we get to these high levels, and then we fall. But we fall down, but we're a few feet away. In other words, we're not exactly where we left. We're not tremendously high levels either, but we're not exactly where we left. We're a few feet away. We gain a little bit, a little bit. And add a little bit here, a little bit there, every chag again, they all add up. And it's throughout our life, and Hashem, well, we progress. We don't land down, and we never land in the same place. We're always a little bit ahead, a little bit, that's all. That's number one answer. And the second answer says from this week's Sedra, like we said, that the Vihiben So is to separate from the Peronius, from Peronius into the next. So he says, can you imagine what your life would be if it would be one big long life of Chulin, with no Kedusha, no Chagim or whatever, with no Vihiben So or Aaron? It would be that's it, you know, Chulin the whole time. He says, we wouldn't be able to handle such a thing. So it's important that in and of itself, the Chagim, just so we shouldn't have a whole dull life of Chulin the whole time. That itself is a mile that we have to appreciate. Okay. It says that a Bacher once came to him, Rav Galinsky, and he was saying that he has a brother that's learning in a yeshiva tichoni, where they learn secular studies as well. And he said his brother's plans, he wants to go to the army, he wants to learn to, they should pay for his education, be a doctor, and then he'll work for the army, and a tudai it's called, and then after that, you know, become a doctor, whatever. And he says, you know, I try to convince him to come to learn yeshiva, regular yeshiva, whatever, but no, he has his heart set on you know, going becoming a doctor, whatever. So I thought maybe the Rav can have a little bit of hashpan. So he says, okay, fine, bring him for Shabbos. Okay, so he came. He said he was a hard nut to crack. He was really, you know, set in his ways. And he said, listen, Rav, one thing I can promise, my kippah is never going to leave my head. I'm going to stay from, you know, from person, whatever. And he said, listen, I have a lot of respect for my brother learning yeshiva and wants to continue in yeshiva. He says, I have all the, you know, all the respect for him, but listen, fine, he'll go out and be a rav in Marbitz Torah somewhere in yeshiva, and I'll be a doctor. I'll end up being a doctor, Bezrat Hashem, and I'll, you know, cure people of their sicknesses, and which is a tremendous thing. And he says, and I don't know who's Gan Eden is going to be greater. I mean, I'm going to do great things, and so my brother, I don't know whose Gan Eden is going to be any greater. So Rav Galinsky said to him, okay, fine, you're going to, let's say, go up, and they're going to give you Gan Eden. He says, but are you sure you want to be there? So he says, of course, why not? Why shouldn't I want to be in Gan Eden? So he says, I don't know, think again. He says, maybe you'd prefer to be in Gehenna. So he says, what, Gehenna? Why would I want to be in Gehenna? He says, because all the chevers over there. He says, yeah, I understand. You know what they do in Gan Eden? You know what Gan Eden's all about? They're going to put you in front of a shtender. They're going to open up a gemara, and they're going to say, learn. That's Gan Eden. That's what they do in Gan Eden. So the guy said, how long? He goes, Netzach, forever. Forever, never, never, never. You're going to be sitting in front of a Gemara. He said, are you able to do that? He says, did you know how to learn? That you're going to be able to sit there and learn for... He says, let's see you sit down and learn for 4 hours. Imagine sitting for eternity and learning. He says, that's going to be Ganim for you. Right, you have to. He says, you want my advice? I would go to at least for 1 year in yeshiva, get yourself a geshmak in learning, so that you'd be able to, when the time comes, go to Gan Eden, you'll be able to appreciate it. Otherwise, it's going to be Ganim for you. So there's a story with the Panovitcher Rav, that when he built the Heichal Yeshiva, so they had to pour the cement on the roof or whatever. So and the workers came in the morning, you know, to do the pouring of the cement. But then it started gushing rain. It was a poor downpour. So they couldn't work. They couldn't work with the cement, whatever, in the rain. So they came to the Panovitcher Rav, and they said, we'd like to get paid for a day's work. So he says, excuse me, you're supposed to be working a 6-hour work day. You didn't work at all. So he said, yeah, but it's not our fault. It's the weather. We can't work today. So we're here. We have to get paid. So pay us the way. He says, listen, I'm paying you for 6 hours of work. So fine. So you can't go pouring the cement. So go to the base measures and learn for 6 hours and then come back and I'll pay you. So they said, but we don't know how to learn. So he says, no problem. Sit down. We'll go over some Mishnayas, learn some Chumash, say Tehillim, whatever it is. And when you finish, come and I'll pay you. Pay your wages. She said, wouldn't you know it? By 10 o'clock in the morning, not one of them was left. They all left. And they were vater on their pay or whatever. They couldn't handle it, right? They didn't have the kalim to be able to learn. And he says that, also from this week's Sedra, Gemara says that with the man, that the tzaddikim, the man lasted, they landed right by their opening of their homes. And the beinonim, it landed at the opening to the machane. And for the rishayim, shatu ambalaktu, says in this week's Sedra, they had to go far away to get their man. So he says, "Mistama the Rishayim." We're not talking about Rishayim. These are the Dor Deya, right? That the least of the women were greater than Yecheskel in Nevuah. So what's Pshat? So we're not talking about Mamash Rishayim, but rather he says, "There's not everybody can sit and learn, right?" So what happens? The people that were able to sit and learn the whole time, so their man felt right there at the thing. They opened their door, boom, there's the man. They ate it and they were sitting and learned the whole day. Those that can only learn half a day, so Shem said, fine, you can only learn half a day, fine, no problem. So he made them schlep out half a day to get them on, and to get them on, and bring it back. And then they ate their lunch, and then they had half a day of learning. And the Rishayim, they're the ones that say, I can't learn it all. So you can't learn it all, fine, you can't learn it all. So they had to go all over to find their man. They finally brought it back at dinner time. They ate their dinner and went to sleep and didn't learn it all. Finally, concludes with a famous story from a Sefer Ben HaMelech VeHaNazir, like we mentioned before. And we'll conclude with this. He says there was once a king that on his birthday, whatever, he said he was going to give a handout presents through whoever comes. Say whatever you wish. So they saw this one guy was like standing on the side. So they called him over and says, how come you're not in line with everybody? So they saw it because the guy was an Ebech. He was like boils all over him. Mitzor, he was a leper. He had boils all over him and disgusting. And so he was pushed away from everybody. So the king called him in. He says, what would you like? So he says, what would I like? Because I'll tell you what I like. You know, I have all these boils and it's so itchy in them. And, I scratch all over. But my back, I can't reach my back, and I want to scratch my back. And very uncomfortable. And I'd like this thing. So I would like from the king if you could make me a back scratcher. You know, that I could stick to a thing that I can scratch my back. And that'll be very good. So the king said, are you a fool? Because he says, why? He says, I can give you anything you want. So why don't you ask me for a doctor to cure you of your boils instead of asking me first? So he said to the king, what? You're going to cure me? He says, so if you're going to cure me, what am I going to do all day? He says, that's why I get my geschmack. I'm scratching. Scratching. That's what I get. That's what I you get to cure me. That's it. I'm going to be bored all day. What am I going to do? So he says, it sounds funny, but there's many people out there that they're scared of going out to pension, right? Because they're saying, what am I going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to go out to pension, and I'm going to be bored, right? Because, again, a person is doesn't have the kelim, doesn't know how to learn, whatever. You have the whole Torah out there, the whole Shas, a whole lifetime of learning, whatever. A person that doesn't have the kelim, what does he have? Nothing. I'm going to be bored. Should be al zoicha to Kabbalah Satoira tomorrow night, and zoicha to all the gute zachen, ben ruchnius, ben megashmius, and zoicha to the real kavod of the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehirah b'yameinu.